Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Congratulations to those of you who are already off work. If you got one more hour, just go ahead and stick with us. We'll try to do our best to entertain you between now and when we get off. We are off a little bit earlier today because the Royals are on the left coast, so they're playing a day game in Seattle. A little bit of a weird start time, so we only have two more segments left in today's show. But we'll do our best to give you the best two segments that we have out there. Coming up in a little bit, we will give you a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to see Toy Story 4. All you got to do is keep it locked in. I saw the movie yesterday, and if you are a fan of the series, you will absolutely love the fourth one. Before we get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City, I saw a story today. The headline reads, "The NFL essentially admits making a mistake that aided the Chargers in the win over the Chiefs." So you guys remember late in the season, week 15, they got so wide open in the back of the end zone, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff.
They're
right?
Just now admitting this?
Yeah.
Took them a while.
Long time. My question is, why does it matter? The Chiefs were the one seed, right?
Yeah.
So this didn't stop them from doing anything. Now, it made the last 2 weeks of the season a little bit more stressful than maybe you wanted it to be. But the Chiefs were still the one seed, and they still hosted the AFC Championship game, right?
Yeah.
So it didn't really matter in the end about this mistake. Now, I understand you. It's just some. You should have just did this privately. You just should have told the Chiefs, like, hey, you know what? We messed that one up.
But this is the reason why they're doing this, C-Dot, is because of the defensive pass interference rule that you hate. They're saying this is the type of play that would have been overturned based on the new rules. They're not saying, like, hey, we messed this up. Sorry about that one. They're actually like using this as a specific example for what would change next year with the new rules.
But we all can agree, similar to the catch rules, that there's going to be a play similar to that next year during the NFL season, and then they're not going to call it, right? Like, we can agree.
Oh, they're
going to
call it. They're going to stop play as much as possible next year. You know that.
Thanks, NFL, for admitting that you got it wrong several months after and then just going, yeah, well, the only reason we're even admitting this is because we've got a new rule. I don't feel any better about that. I feel worse.
Text line 69306. Four different people are suggesting that they were the winner of the pack-a-day giveaway, and that BK hung up on them.
Very likely could have happened.
We get really bad customer reviews about BK's phone answering skills. We get really bad reviews.
It's not the easiest thing to do. He's only been using a phone since he was four.
Yeah, it's not fair.
We're working to be better here. We're working to be a full service.
Are we?
We give you good sports takes. You get good customer service here. We're like Chick-fil-A. That's what we're trying to be here. BK is messing up the customer service part, and we're messing up the sports takes part. I mean, it's kind of
that's
like
me. I'll take the blame for that.
It's like a joint venture here. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get more into the Kansas City Chiefs with a little bit of research that we did. But first, let's get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
I will admit we are having some phone difficulties right now.
Yeah, I'm
and
sure.
We're not able to hear some
By
of the
that,
people
you mean
that
you
responded.
Hung up on a bunch of people?
No, not on purpose. I asked them four times for the answer, and they didn't answer, so I moved on to the next one. Hits are brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open at the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. We do have a little bit of an update on the Chris Jones situation. For the first time, we're hearing more about the Chiefs side of things. Here's what Therese Paylor had to say earlier today on the Yahoo Sports NFL podcast.
Chris Jones basically saw the Chiefs trade for Frank Clark and receive a contract for 5 years worth $20.8 million a year. And he says, hey, I've been here for 3 years. I've had 15 and a half sacks. You're going to take care of this guy, not me. I want my money. Chiefs might say to you, maybe you shouldn't freelance on so many of those sacks. Maybe you should show up to OTAs. You show up, we'll start talking.
C-Dot, what'd you think when you heard this from Therese Paylor?
I think this information is coming directly from the Chiefs. We've heard this similar report from Ian Rappaport of NFL Network. We've now heard it from Therese Paylor, who of all the national beat writers and people that cover the NFL, there probably isn't one that knows the Chiefs organization and is as plugged in as Therese is. So I think this directly came from the Kansas City Chiefs. It's a very interesting stance. I think we know how negotiations work, that it basically is who blinks first. I think ultimately Chris Jones blinks, but it's an interesting study in negotiation.
If I'm Chris Jones, I'm pissed. Why wouldn't I be? I had 15 and a half sacks last year. I've outplayed my rookie contract. And then what do the Chiefs do? They pay somebody on the defense, but not me. And they pay him the $20 million that I'm eventually going to be asking for. Unfortunately for Chris Jones, BK, he's not going to have a bunch of leverage because he's the player and they're the league. See that point out usually earlier when it's millionaires versus billionaires, the billionaires almost always win out, and that's what's going on here. So the Chiefs are going to win this battle in the long run.
Text line 69306. Hey, thanks guys for answering your phone. You guys need to do a better job. The time is yours. That's the kind of reputation we have out in the streets, man. That's the kind of reputation that BK's given us.
That's not on me. That one's on BK. Most of it's on me. This one's on him.
That's fair. None of it's on me, though. I just want that to point out that none of it's on me.
A lot of it's on you.
All right.
The majority of it's on
you. Okay, that's fair. I can live with that.
Hit number two, Jorge Soler just keeps doing this.
And a breaking ball. Fly ball the other way. Deep right center. Smith is back. Smith to the fence. Smith leaping. He can't get to it. Home run Soler. Number 20 on the year.
That was his 20th home run of the season. So far this month, Jorge Soler is batting .265. He's getting on base at a .350 clip. He has 4 doubles, 6 homers, and 13 RBI. See, now the thing that's changed for him isn't so much the power. He's been doing that all year, but he's drawn a walk in 5 of his last 6 games. He had just 5 walks entering the month of May. Are we starting to see Jorge Soler break out to be the player that the Royals expected him to be?
You know what? As a peace offering to BK, I'm going to give my portion of the hits to BK because he is not loyal out here. Hunter Dozier was his man at the very beginning of the season, and now that Hunter Dozier's on the DL, we don't hear a lot of concern for Hunter Dozier. You've just team-hopped now to Jorge Soler. So I don't have anything. You take it away.
So the thing that Jorge Soler's been doing that's different is the walks, and if you want him to have value to the Royals, whether it be here in Kansas City or another team via trade, you need him to continue this because a guy that has a bunch of power ain't all that valuable in 2019's MLB. There's a lot of those guys. Look at the ESPN leaderboard right now. You want to find a bunch of dudes that can hit you 20 home runs? They're all over the place, and none of them are making a ton of money. The thing that's valuable is the guy that can both get on base and hit for the power. If that's the guy that Jorge Soler is going to be moving forward, that guy's really valuable, either here or via trade.
I don't think that's the guy he is. I think he's a power hitter. I think he's basically the real-life version of Pedro Serrano. Now, does that mean
he was this guy last year, though? Last year, in the time that he played, he had a .350 on-base percentage. If he can do that moving forward, that guy has a ton of value.
He absolutely has a ton of value. Even if he's just a home run hitter, he's got a ton of value. Somebody's going to come calling for a team that thinks that they need a power hitter to get over the hump. They will give you, I don't know, a decent minor league pitcher for Jorge Soler. And when that call comes, the Royals should absolutely answer it. The problem is, if you keep trading these guys away, you're not going to have a core going forward. And I just as well assume keep Jorge Soler as part of your core going forward.
This is the first time I've heard you say you want to keep a player of the Royals. You've traded everyone on the Royals that's not Adalberto Mondesi. At this point,
he's been hotter than Terry Foss in the forest fire. You got to keep him.
You traded Duffy. You traded Ian Kennedy. You traded Whit Merrifield. You traded Hunter Dozier.
I didn't trade
you
Whit.
You traded everybody.
I didn't trade Dozier either. I kept those guys as part of the core, and I think Soler is part of the core, too.
I will be fair, though. You had them getting 3 stud left-handed pitchers in return for Whit Merrifield, so they should do your plan if they're getting that kind of return on their play.
All I said is if somebody offers you the same deal that you got when you traded away for Cueto and Zobrist, you got to at least take that phone call for anybody, including Whit Merrifield. Anybody not named Adalberto Mondesi, they should take a phone call on. 3.
Final hit of the day is brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city, now open in the Crossroads and the official deli of 610 Sports Radio. The Royals are looking to win 4 in a row for the first time this season. They didn't do it last year until September, so this could technically be an improvement for them. Brad Keller's on the mound, and he's looked like himself in his last 5 starts. He's gone 35 innings with a 2.8 ERA, and 65% of his pitches have gone for strikes. C-Dot, what have you seen for Brad Keller? What do you think's changed for him over the last 5 starts, and are you expecting more of this moving forward?
I think that Brad Keller's kind of in the same spot that a lot of Royals players are in. We got to see you do it for a full season. Now, I think we can all agree that the Royals' position players as part of the core have been a big positive. The issue has kind of been some of the other players on their team, and more specifically, the pitching. But Brad Keller, this is what we thought he was going to be at the very beginning of the season. Last year, he was 9-6 with a 3.08 ERA. Got off to a little bit of a bumpy start, but now has his ERA under 4. Can you do it for a full season? Last year, only started in 20 games. Can you be a guy who can pitch 200 innings, give you 28 to 30 starts, and have a sub-4 ERA? That's still the biggest question for Brad Keller, but he's answering it so far.
The problem with the Royals is the same problem with Brad Keller, which is inconsistency. As BK just pointed out, he's been great in his last 35 innings with a 2.8 ERA. The problem is the rest of the season. You could say the same thing about Danny Duffy. You could say the same thing about last night's starter, Homer Bailey, who was excellent last night. He's now gone 16 straight, he said, scoreless innings, a guy that may become a trade bait piece going forward. But when it comes to Brad Keller, like him, don't love him until he does it for a full season, like CDOT said.
The Chargers have just announced a sellout of season tickets. So that's like 1,000 tickets. I mean, their stadium seats 18,000 people. It's not hard to sell out season tickets for a team that is a Super Bowl contender and won a playoff game last year.
Not when you play in a high school stadium. No, it's not.
Yeah, like they announced the sellout. I'm shocked.
Remember how many Chiefs fans were there the first game of the season last year? Did you see those pictures?
That's how it's going to be every time they play a game.
But no, not like that. That was a division opponent. That was a bunch of Kansas Cityans wanting to get out of the weather and head out to the coast. There were like 75% Chiefs fans, at least the pictures that I saw.
That's how it's going to be every time they play a game. Like, you think if they play the Eagles in that stadium, it's not going to be like that? Or Pittsburgh in that stadium? Or Green Bay in that stadium? Or Dallas in that stadium?
Then it's going to be like that for half the division. Because it's definitely going to be like that for Oakland when they move to Las Vegas. 100%. You don't think every single time that Las Vegas plays a home game, it's going to be half full of the away fans.
Yeah, 100%. That's how it's going to be. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the two biggest stories of the day regarding your Kansas City Chiefs. But now here's a chance for you to win a 4-pack of tickets to Toy Story 4. It's very simple. I'm going to play a clip from a Pixar movie. If you know what clip it is, be caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. Ask Brandon Kylie nicely, because he's clearly in a bad mood today, if you can identify the movie and you're nice to Brandon Kylie and you're caller number 6. A lot of things to do. If you do all that, then you are the winner of a 4-pack of tickets to see Toy Story 4. We only got 3 more, so go ahead and get them while the getting is good.
You got serious thrill issues, dude.
Oh,
awesome.
Oh, my stomach. Oh.
Oh, man. Hey, no hurling on the shell, dude, okay? Just waxed it.
So, Mr. Turtle.
Whoa, dude. Mr. Turtle is my father. Name's Crush.
So if you know what movie that is, be calling number 6 to 913-576-7610. And the 4-pack of Toy Story 4 tickets are yours. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get back into the Chris Jones story, where the Chiefs have clearly put their line in the sand regarding their defensive lineman. We'll get into it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive. We are off a little bit earlier today. The Royals are on the left coast. They're playing the Seattle Mariners. So this is our final segment of the day, as much as it saddens me.
Get your broom out, going for the sweep.
The show is coming to an end. I saw this is the first chance they have to win 4 games in a row in like almost a year.
Actually, since the Nixon administration, it's been longer than that.
I mean, they were good in 2015. Oh, yeah. Let's not be disrespectful to the Royals. I mean, let's not.
Did that really happen, though? Did 14 and 15 really happen, or was that just a great dream and then I woke up?
You were talking about the Royals like they were your Kansas football Jayhawks. I just want you to show a little bit more respect than what you're showing.
I'm sorry I couldn't hear you. The Orange Bowl 08 hat that I'm wearing got in the way. My bad.
That was a good one. No, you know what? I can't really argue when you bring up the Orange Bowl with it. You guys haven't really done anything
just
since.
Just got in the way of my ears. I couldn't hear you. I'm sorry.
We haven't really done much since then, but that's neither here nor there. I don't want to get into arguing about this. So Ian Rappaport was on NFL Network. Here's what he had to say about Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones.
He has stayed away for OTAs. That's voluntary. No fines associated with that. But not present, I'm told, for mandatory minicamp. So Chris Jones, one of the best players on a Chiefs defense that they would really like to improve this year, he is not at mandatory minicamp. So he is going to get fined. Now, he would like a new deal, looking for something in the $20 million per year range. But my understanding is the Chiefs are not going to negotiate with him until he's present. And he is not present right now.
So that audio is courtesy of NFL Network, and that is Ian Rappaport. I think that Ian Rappaport is the second best NFL reporter out there behind Adam Schefter. So he said this was probably 10 days ago that the Chiefs will not negotiate with Chris Jones until he shows up. Kind of goes against the concept of a holdout. Once you show up, you're no longer holding out to that point. You have then decided to participate in team activities, which Chris Jones obviously has not participated so far. So here is what Therese had to say on the exact same issue when it comes to Chris Jones negotiations, and listen to how similar these two reports are.
Chris Jones basically saw the Chiefs trade for Frank Clark and receive a contract for 5 years worth $20.8 million a year. And he says, hey, I've been here for 3 years. I've had 15 and a half sacks. You're going to take care of this guy, not me. I want my money. Chiefs might say to you, eh, maybe you shouldn't freelance on so many of those sacks. Maybe you should show up to OTAs. You show up, we'll start talking. So they're in a bit of a stalemate over money. About a month ago, I didn't think that this was going to be like very contentious. I thought the Chiefs wanted to pay him. I thought he wanted to get in. But like anytime you deal with a number like that, there's going to be some haggling. So we'll see where it goes.
So let's look at it from the journalistic side of it before we really get into the football part of it. We all have been in this long enough, and some of you who are devout listeners of Sports Talk Radio, this information only comes out if the Chiefs want you to know this information. Like, to hear from Ian Rappaport and Therese Paylor, we will not negotiate until you show up to camp. That's not the agent that is telling them that. That's the Chiefs side of it, of, hey, we want to operate in good faith with Chris Jones, but he has to show up to training camp, has to show up to OTA before we're willing to have that conversation.
It's so Chiefs-like. They're talking about we're willing to negotiate. Not that we're definitely going to pay you, but we're willing to at least negotiate if you come to the camp, if you come to the table.
Now, negotiate a deal. That doesn't mean that they strike a deal.
No.
We're not willing to move forward in this contract negotiation until you show up at camp. You miss all the voluntary stuff, so we're not somewhat operating in good faith. You missed the mandatory portion. We could fine you for it. Now, I doubt the Chiefs do it if they really want to negotiate the contract with them. That doesn't really help the negotiation that you're going to take $20,000 out of my pocket. So I don't think they'll ultimately end up fining you. But I think we can follow it and kind of read the tea leaves enough to know that this came directly from the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I want to highlight this portion just from Therese Paylor, because as much leverage as I think Chris Jones has, he doesn't have all of it in this context.
Chiefs might say to you, eh, maybe you shouldn't freelance on so many of those sacks. Maybe you should show up to OTAs. You show up, we'll start talking.
So Chris Jones, I think, has a lot of leverage.
Based on what? What leverage does he have at all?
Well, I think he's arguably their best defensive player. That matters on a team that's trying to win the Super Bowl. I don't know if they could win the Super Bowl if Chris Jones isn't on the team. Like, I don't know if they win the Super Bowl in that case. So he has some amount of leverage. Does he have all the leverage? No, but he certainly has some of it. I think you can make the point that he is the second best defensive lineman in the NFL behind Aaron Donald. Then losing an all-pro player, a guy who had 15 and a half sacks, a guy who we think deserves a top five defensive contract, that's a viable player to have. And if he just said, all right, cool, I'm not showing up until you give me the contract, that would not be good for the Kansas City Chiefs. So he has some leverage. But the Chiefs, I would say, just have more leverage than Chris Jones has. You've only been great for 1 year. We need you to prove it to us one more year. That Chris Jones, in that context, only has two choices. Either pout and be unhappy but show up to camp, or call the Chiefs bluff and decide to stay away until they pay you. I don't think that's the card that you play. So again, I think Chris Jones has some leverage with the Chiefs. I don't think he has all of it.
Do you think that the Chiefs want him to prove it another year, or do you think they're waiting just because they can? Because as you pointed out several times, they don't have to pay Chris Jones right now, and he really doesn't have a ton of leverage. At some point, he's going to be on the field. He's not Le'Veon Bell, where he's already got $10 million in the bank. He has to play.
I think the only reason, not only reason, I think the biggest reasons on why you would give Chris Jones the contract now, his happiness and how you think it plays in the locker room, you think it'd be a little bit cheaper to do it now than down the line.
It'll be a lot cheaper, because if he has 15 and a half sacks again, or if he has 12 sacks from a defensive tackle position next year, then all of a sudden the money's just going to get more. You have to be proactive and not reactive if you're the Chiefs.
But we say that, though. How much more do we think it goes up? Like, according to Ian Rappaport, he wants to make $21, $22 million a year. How much more is it going up over the next 12 to 14 months if they do it? Now, I'm not saying they don't save any amount of money, because they certainly save some amount of money. How much more is it going up? Like, how much more? So let's say whenever they announce the contract for Chris Jones, we agree he probably signs for 6 years, $100 million in some capacity, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Like 6 years, 101, 6 years, 102. If he goes out there and balls out again, it doesn't become 8 for $140 if that's the case. It's like 6 for $115 if that's the case. You save a little bit of money, which obviously matters in a salary cap league. I don't think it's some exponentially great savings, though.
No, and he might just get a bigger signing bonus if he plays better. So it might not end up hurting the Chiefs in the long run. I will say this. I'm surprised that the Chiefs are doing this, because the Chiefs are lucky that they're not having to negotiate this offseason with both Chris Jones and Tyreek Hill. They should be counting their lucky stars in a weird way that Tyreek Hill's had to go through all this crap because they haven't had to go to the negotiating table with him. It makes sense to do it with Chris Jones.
I just want to understand, too. I'd be very curious to have Therese on when he talks about freelance sacks. Now, I don't really know what that means. Like, I understand the concept of it. Like, I understand what freelance means and what sacks means, but that's a negative? You're telling me that, so last year, Bob Sutton was telling Chris Jones to do one thing, and he was like, nah, I'm going to get to the quarterback on this play, and then successfully got to the quarterback. And the Chiefs looking at it like, hey, you did that way too much last year. Hey, you know what? Six of those sacks that you got, you probably shouldn't have got those if you had run our scheme. That something was wrong with your scheme if that was the case.
I hope they don't do that. I hope that they don't tell Patrick Mahomes, hey, man, don't freelance on your touchdown passes, because he probably would have thrown 38 and 12 of those came from freelancing. Absolutely, Chris Jones and Pat have to play the way they play to be successful.
Text line 69306. If you don't show up to mandatory meetings, would you have leverage still? The answer is no. If I owned any sports team, if I owned any sports teams, it's literally this simple. If you don't show up to anything mandatory, you will not play, period. These owners need to stop being soft if what you are saying is found out to be true.
Doesn't work that way. Guys outperform their contract all the time.
Yeah, like, that's a fine stance to take with some players. That's not a fine stance. So you're telling me if Patrick Mahomes at the end of the season, let's say Patrick Mahomes goes out there and with another MVP, and then they win the Super Bowl, and Mahomes says, I'm not showing up to anything until you pay me. What's your strategy if you're the Chiefs? You're playing hardball with Mahomes? Then I'm with you. Not many players have that kind of leverage, but some of them do. Like, some of them you need to win the Super Bowl. Like, the Chiefs are trying to get somewhere. We agree. The Chiefs are trying to go to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
We agree.
Yes.
Chris Jones is an integral part in trying to go to the Super Bowl.
I don't think you can win a Super Bowl without Chris Jones.
I wouldn't advise that strategy if you're DeMarcus Robinson. I wouldn't advocate that. If you're DeMarcus Robinson, I wouldn't advocate that. If you're Chris Jones and you're one of the five best players in the NFL at your position, I think you kind of got the leverage to do that.
Which is why we all think in the long run it's going to work out and the marriage is going to be successful between the Chiefs and Chris Jones. At some point, they're going to come to a deal.
So, yeah, I mean, if you want to take the stance of this hardline approach, like, sometimes you got to do it. Like, we have a hardline approach. Like, many of you are against DUIs. Are you cutting every player that gets one? Like, you're telling me that tomorrow if Tyrann Mathieu got a DUI, like, get him off the team. I don't want him. Like, we allow professional athletes and people who are really good at their job to get away with a lot of things.
Exhibit
that you
A and
not.
B and C, Tyreek Hill.
I don't want to get into that.
I'm just saying.
I'm trying to pick a different player. Thanks so much for listening. Coming up after us, it is your Kansas City Royals looking to get the sweep against the Seattle Mariners. We are back again tomorrow. We are at Olathe Ford. HUD's going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.